Hard Feelings by Mark Coggins is a bang bang thrill ride, says best-selling author Seth Harwood, who adds that the lead character of Winnie is a female Jack Reacher. Find it in ebook or trade paperback wherever books are sold. In this podcast, it's read by author Mark Coggins. Learn more about Mark and his other novels at markcoggins.com. Chapter 12. The Winemaker. ROI. Return on Investment. The benefit an investor receives for the capital or know-how he supplies an enterprise. A simple enough concept, but many people struggle with its application, particularly the return part. Some years ago, a venture capitalist friend of mine asked me to make an investment in a medical devices fund he was putting together. At the time, I had no particular interest in medical devices, but I wanted to diversify, and the VC firm had a good track record, so I agreed to put in $100 million. After the fund closed, Ted Valmont, a flamboyant young partner in the firm, took some of the money and put it in a startup called Neurostimix. Neurostimix's business plan called for the commercialization of a technology intended to restore mobility in patients with spinal cord injuries. The research behind the technology had been done in a university setting by a scientist named Warren Niebauer, and Niebauer was joining the company to take it to the next level. Total market size for the product was estimated at $500 million, and profitability for the company was projected at year 3. So far, so good. 3 years came and went, and the company had no viable product, much less a revenue stream. The concept was still compelling, but Valmont had botched the execution. I had also realized that there were many more uses for the technology than the narrow application Valmont envisioned, and was now more motivated than ever to have it succeed. To turn things around, I approached Niebauer for a separate effort, rewarding and incentivizing him as Valmont had never done, and also sweeping away the regulatory roadblocks that had been retarding progress. Chief among these roadblocks was approval for a human trial. My agents in England found the ideal candidate in a young woman named Winnie, who had been paralyzed in a horse riding accident. We brought her to my estate in Napa, where Niebauer implanted a set of prototype neurostimulators and equipped her with a portable transceiver to relay motor impulses around the break in her spine. The results far exceeded our expectations. I then directed Niebauer to develop variants of the technology for use with individuals who were not paralyzed. They, too, performed admirably, although more work was required for the military and industrial applications I had in mind. At this point, I had invested a great deal more than my original $100 million, but I was satisfied with the progress and was looking forward to the benefits I and the world at large would accrue. I hadn't reckoned on Valmont's sense of entitlement. He claimed the moral high ground, but his betrayal was motivated by greed. He wanted sole control of the technology, and he hired a detective named Reardon to help him. I can't bring myself to fully describe the set of circumstances that resulted in my being maimed, convicted of multiple felonies, and imprisoned in Cochrane. It is enough to say that it involved freakish bad luck and the invulnerability of idiots. Whatever the judgment of society, there was no question in my mind that I owned the technology. My money paid for its development. My involvement accelerated its evolution. I was due a return. After my release from prison, I set about collecting it. I cashiered Niebauer, who had allied himself with Valmont again, but only after we extracted every bit of information from him about the technology. We then went after Valmont, catching him with Winnie in the parking lot of their company. I wanted them alive. What I got was Valmont dead from a sniper's bullet, and Winnie on the run, very much alerted to the threat. It wasn't exactly the sort of performance I expected from former Navy SEALs, and I let Donovan know that even as he moldered in Cochrane, awaiting his own release. For her part, Winnie continues to surprise and infuriate. Niebauer could not fully explain why her version of the stimulator technology is so much better than the others. Perhaps it is the design of the implants. Perhaps it is the programming of the transceiver. It could even be some unique aspect of her physiology. We'll know soon enough. Sometimes you have to break a thing to understand it. That leaves only Reardon. We have reason to believe that Winnie has sought him out again. She couldn't have picked a worse partner. He will only drag her down. And Reardon, in particular, has a long fall ahead of him. You have been listening to No Hard Feelings, a finalist for the Forward Reviews Book of the Year Award. Find it in ebook or trade paperback wherever books are sold. In this podcast, it's read by author Mark Coggins. Learn more about Mark and his other novels at markcoggins.com.